Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth, joined again by my friend Hernan Halana from Southland Baptist Church, Sydney, Australia. 14 hours ahead?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't even know.
I think it's 14 hours. So it's strange because the first time I went to Australia and visited with you, I got on the flight on a Monday, I think, left Sydney at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And I arrived in Los Angeles at like six. 7 or 6 in the morning the same day.
Yeah.
Like I just could not figure that out. So I actually like lost 4 hours or gained 4 hours. So I thought, man, if I could just stay on that flight for a couple of years, I would actually get younger. I don't think that's the way it works, but yeah. I couldn't figure it out. I'm simple-minded. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and in verse 3, where we left yesterday, the Apostle Paul had this heart to say, I want you to be established in your faith. That's why I sent Timothy, that he would really ground you and encourage you so that you wouldn't be moved. You wouldn't be shaken. And let's continue on that theme, Hernan, today. In verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So the very first way by which the Apostle Paul encourages them to remain unmoved, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 15, you know, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Mm. So the first way by which the Apostle Paul said we can remain unmoved is to realize that there are going to come outside influences that want to move us.
That's
so
right.
Just know that your faith is going to be challenged.
That's right. And that's what I think that's the great thing about the Bible is the Bible doesn't hold its punches. It tells us what we're going to go through. It tells us what we're, as the Bible gives it, what we're appointed to. And we know about the Apostle Paul himself. We know that even at from the outset of his calling, when he was being described as this chosen vessel, the Lord said that he was going to suffer many things.
Right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning.
No, that's a great point. I think, okay, so what if, my friends, you're walking down the road and somebody just jumps at you from behind, wrestles you to the ground, pries open your mouth, takes a drill and just starts drilling inside of your mouth, and you would go crazy. But then what if I told you this? A dentist has told you that you have a bad tooth. You need to have that tooth extracted. You have to come to the office. They're going to give you some Novocaine. They're going to remove that tooth. It's going to help you. It's not, you know, nobody wants a drill in his mouth. No one wants to go through that, but this is, you'd have a totally different attitude.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, listen, there are some appointments in life that God is superintending, God's allowing. Mm. And these appointments are for your good. So instead of feeling like you're blindsided, like someone's jumping at you and prying open your mouth and trying, no, there's a reason, there's a rationale, there's a purpose, it's for your good. So it's a totally different mindset in life when we know that God has appointed things in our life under his supervision for our good. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul says, ahead of time, I want you to know that these things that you don't like are coming any more than we like going to the dentist or like going to the doctor. It's happening, but the purpose is for my good.
That's right. And if we could be told ahead of time that certain things are going to happen, but that there's a purpose to it, then I think there's a great comfort in that. And then also there's a great understanding then of not only what to expect, but then how to respond to that.
And doesn't it go back to what we talked about yesterday, which is this is a way by which our faith is strengthened. Because faith is saying, I believe God. And part of believing God is to say, I believe that God controls my future. I believe that God has my best interest in mind. I believe that God is superintending all of life's events for his glory and for my good. That's Romans 8:28. Mm-hmm. So you see that theme. Matter of fact, you mentioned just a moment ago that whole point. So in verse 4, I think that expands upon it because it says, for verily, when we were with you, so I'm telling you this now in written form, but when we were with you, right. We told you before that we should suffer tribulation even as it came to pass, and you know. So the Apostle Paul said, remember, I told you so. I told you so. And then it happened, but it had to have been a comfort for them to say, yeah, he did tell us. And then it did happen. And now he's reminding us that he told us it would happen, and it happened. That, to me, is a major way by which to endure the afflictions of life when we know, okay, this is part of it.
That's right. And you know, he'll say it in another way, think it not strange. And at times when we're in situations that surprise us or make us uncomfortable, then the Bible is actually reminding us, I told you this is going to happen. Don't think it's strange. I never said that life's now going to be a bed of roses. It's going to be a smooth road ahead. You know, as believers, I think sometimes we have this attitude about our faith, like, you know, how can this happen to me? I'm a child of God. When really the opposite is true. God's saying, you know, I've warned you, I've told you these are going to happen, but they're going to be for my purposes and for my reasons in your life.
Every New Testament writer made this a theme, everyone. So Jesus, obviously in his ministry, made suffering. Hey, take up your cross, follow me. This is a requisite for discipleship. And then the verse you quoted in 1 Peter, you know, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. So Peter and then James, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And then Paul throughout his epistles, right. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. My friends, suffering is part and parcel to the Christian life. You're just not going to get out of it without suffering. Matter of fact, the Bible teaching is this: if we never have suffering, if we never have opposition, that itself ought to be a red flag to say, am I really living for the Lord Jesus? So I love how the Apostle Paul encourages them here. Know that it's coming. Know that, you know, God's superintending it. Deal with it that way. And then when it happened, he said, remember, I told you it was coming. It came. So right. You see this process. He's lovingly just walking them through it, isn't he?
He is. And what he's doing also is he's just building up their faith. You know, we go back to the earlier verses about being established in the faith and being comforted and encouraged in the faith. And nothing will encourage you and establish you more than to see those things that God says will happen. And what he's doing is he's really actually building up their faith, strengthening them in their resolve for the days ahead and further on.
Yeah, that's such an excellent point. And then when he's in Athens, he's ruminating over these truths. Hey, I told them bad times were coming. I told them that tribulation would be part of it. And I can just picture the Apostle Paul imagining the kinds of things that they're going through. And that's the language of verse 5, because in verse 5, he says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. In other words, when I just couldn't put up with this anymore, I couldn't take it. I was thinking, they're going through it right now. They're being maligned. They're being persecuted. I just couldn't take it. I had to send Timothy because I had to know your faith. I had to know how your faith was faring now that it was being challenged. So I really wanted to know. I wanted to get this status report. So at the end of verse 5, lest by some means the tempter, What a poignant description of the devil. The tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. So, wow, this verse is just full of great teaching. So the Apostle Paul said, man, I needed to find out how you're doing, especially how your faith was faring, because I know that we have a real enemy. And that real enemy, the tempter, so think about the idea of temptation. The tempter is going to tempt you, but relative to trials. So how does the devil use trials in our life to offset us?
Well, the Bible says that we have a adversary, the devil, who's a roaring lion. And at times, trials and comes in a way of maybe a distraction from who God is. Sometimes when we go through trials, it's almost as if we're matching what we think about God and what we believe about God to what is actually happening in our lives. And I think that can be a distraction, but it's also, I think, weariness. You know, we get wearied in trouble, and part of how the devil gets us off the path of following Christ is just wearying us in our journey.
And think about how the devil has done that in history. Because Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. Mm. It's not that the devil's not predictable. It's just that he has, in his view, a winning game plan that he's used for 6,000 years of human history, and he has wielded that game plan effectively. So think about even in the situation of Job, the devil was convinced that trials, setbacks, pain, betrayal, he was convinced that these would be enough for Job to curse God and die. This would be enough. And really, for most people, it is. So just understand that when you're going through a difficult time, the devil's going to be the first person to whisper in your ear, see this, God doesn't love you. See this, God doesn't care. Boy, if God cared, you wouldn't have this big bill looming over your head. Boy, if God really loved you, you wouldn't be in this hospital bed. But if you really were walking with the Lord and he really was caring for you, these people wouldn't betray you. So the Apostle Paul, he knows how the devil works. And he said, I really want to get Timothy up there to establish you. I really want to get him up there to comfort you, because I know that the devil is going to seize upon these negative life circumstances, and he's going to whisper misinformation about God. You know, God knows in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to be like him. That's why he's trying to keep something from you. See how the devil works?
Yeah, and that's right from the beginning. He's played his hand as far as how to detract us from the will of God. He wants to whisper lies. He's the father of lies. And, you know, he wants to lie about who God is in your life, and he wants your confidence in God to be shaken. And he so often uses troubles, doesn't he, to spread that kind of mentality and this misinformation about who God truly is.
Yeah, and that's a great point as well, because his weapons are fear, you know, be afraid of this. Then he uses discouragement, depression. I mean, these are the time-honored tools of the devil. And then just to kind of close our thought today in verse 5, the Apostle Paul's great fear was that our labor would be in vain. He's referenced that now several times in this small letter to say, I just don't want to spin my wheels when it comes to ministry. So I'm concerned not only about leading people to Christ and getting them started, but I'm so concerned about their confirmation, their establishment, because I just don't want ministry to be vain, where we're just propping people up and getting them started, and then they're right back in the world, they're right back where they started, but I want to complete this. That's the heart of God, isn't it? He that began a good work in us, he wants to complete it.
And that was Paul's heart, was that it wasn't just this awesome event that happened in their lives. He wanted them to continue on. He wanted them to then be fruitful in their own lives for the glory of God. And Paul's mentality is correct, isn't it? He it's not just about the immediate results in our Christian life. It's about continuing on and being fruitful, because fruit gives God glory.
I've seen a lot of Christians that win the 100 yard or the 100 meter, right, for my Aussie, yeah, friends.
Thank you.
Dash, you know, but they crash afterward. Mm-hmm. We're in a marathon, my friends. The Apostle Paul saw that. And he said to these people, my concern for you is that you keep on keeping on in spite of the devil's attacks, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Boy, it's been great to talk about these a couple of verses. Looking forward to our continued study. Appreciative of each one of you joining us. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.